You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Our next Heineken rivalry game is on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the app tomorrow night. It's known as the friendliest rivalry in sports. It's Minnesota United, the Loons hosting Sporting KC in St. Paul. Coverage begins at 8 o'clock Eastern. And before we begin another hour of Get Up, here's a great moment yesterday. Chris Canty, check out 11-year-old Tommy Morrissey, a little leaguer, plays baseball with one arm. And take a look at the swing. And take a look at the drive. Bam!
Ooh, sweet swing, G. Sweet swing. I mean, that is unbelievable. But, G, here's the thing that I would tell Tommy. Go ahead and get him with the bat flip. Here's the bat flip, man. Nobody's going to hold it against you. Get him with the bat flip. But the kid's acting like he's been there before, so I got a lot of respect for him. Showing some sportsmanship, even though he just hit a dinger. Pretty impressive.
11 years old. Wonderful to see. With that, we welcome you back to another hour of Get Up. We're live at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. We got Canty here and a whole cast, and we're ready to roll for hour number two. Let's roll it here on ESPN. We're getting up with the heat, which is on KD. Could KD soon be on the Heat? As of yesterday, that answer could be yes. We'll explain why in just a moment. Plus, his soon-to-be former running mate will tell you the only way that Kyrie emerges from all of this as the biggest winner of all. And then, the rankings are out. The reaction is in. Is this the most overrated quarterback in the NFL? Those are the questions. We've got the answers as we get up with you starting right now. This hour begins with the game of the night, Mets and Braves. Mets have seen their lead in the National League East fall from 10.5 games to just a game and a half up on the Bravos. So they needed their ace last night to be just that, and he was. Max Scherzer was a horse. That was Matt Olson going down. This is Austin Riley. Scherzer cruising, bottom of 7, 2-0 Mets, 2 outs. Scherzer has retired 20 of 21 batters. But this is Austin Riley, and he finally catches up to Scherzer. A drive to left, and the Braves cut the deficit in half. It's 2-1 Mets, two batters later. Tying runs on second. Scherzer still out there. Eddie Rosario goes down swinging. Scherzer, 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 9 strikeouts. The performance the Mets needed, a 2-1 lead. And now they need this. Leading off the 8th is Luis Guillorme. That's his 9th home run of the season. Scherzer says, oh, we needed the insurance, and we got it. Mets go on to get a win they needed behind their ace. 4-1 the final. It's Max Scherzer's second start since he was on the injured list, and he's been dominant. 13 innings, 20 strikeouts, 5 hits, no walks. He's just the 5th pitcher since 1900 to put up those numbers over consecutive starts. Spectacular from a guy earning all that money. All right, to the NBA, where the biggest story remains the future of Kevin Durant. We're now nearly 2 weeks since he requested a trade from Brooklyn. Miami is one of the teams on his wish list as the teams convene in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League. And we got Barry Jackson, okay? He is from the Miami Herald, and he has been covering South Florida sports for 35 years. And he tweeted yesterday that the Heat's general manager, Andy Ellisberg, and the Nets general manager, Sean Marks, were seen talking in Vegas. The Heat continues its pursuit of Durant, Barry tweets. He says Andy and Sean were chatting at their hotel. Heat determined to exhaust all options to acquire Durant before pursuing anything else significant. So we've got our crew rolling today. Nick Friedell is with us from NBA Summer League in Vegas. Zach Lowe gets up with us this morning, and Big Perk will join us a little later this hour as well. Nick, we hear that the Heat general manager and the Nets general manager, they're getting together and talking. Are all eyes on Miami right now for Kevin Durant?
Yes, but Greeny, right now, they don't have the pieces in play that Brooklyn is looking for. Riley is a wizard, though. He's 77 years old. The league knows he desperately wants to go out with one more title before he gets out of the game. So he's got to make some more moves behind the scenes. But it would be a stretch to think they would be able to bring everything in place they'd need. I'd add this, though. From a basketball standpoint, I've always believed Miami was the best fit for Kevin Durant. Jimmy Butler is a fantastic player. He has taken the team to the finals, but he needs that dynamic score next to him to get them over the hump. Riley said they want to build with Jimmy, but he also said at his press conference a couple weeks ago, we need that other big name. If they can land Kevin, they're going to have everything they need to get through the East, and those two, Durant and Butler, can be the best 1-2 combination of two-way players in the game.
I think that's right. I saw that in your notes, and I gave it a little bit of thought, and I think I agree. If you put those two together, when you consider both ends of the floor, they might actually be the best 1-2 punch the league has right now. Having said that, Zach, let's not bury the lead here. Durant to Miami. Can they make it happen? Will it happen?
Those two players, yeah, you're right about Kevin Durant and Jimmy Butler, but to win the title, which is the whole goal of getting Kevin Durant and the whole goal of Pat Riley's life, you need more than just those two guys and Kyle Lowry and whatever is left over. Specifically, you need Bam Adebayo, a player that they have no replacement for, nobody who can even come close to duplicating what he does on both ends of the floor as the last line of defense, is the most switchable big man in the league. And the Nets are not doing a one-for-one trade with Miami, a two-team trade with Miami, unless they're getting Bam Adebayo. And bad news, they can't even have Bam Adebayo and Ben Simmons on the same team because of cap rules that are too boring to explain right now. So you run into all kinds of complications. I just don't think Tyler Hero plus Duncan Robinson plus as many first-round picks as the Heat can throw in, which is in theory three, I don't think that's enough. And I don't think Durant can look at the Heat roster, even with Jimmy Butler there, and if Bam Adebayo's not there, and say to himself, I've got enough to win the title. I just think there's a big Bam Adebayo-sized problem trying to find pathways to Durant to Miami. But as Nick says, never doubt Pat Riley, because he don't care about that 2029 first round pick.
That's probably right. You know, Chris Canty, you're in the middle of all this every single day on your radio show. And I want to put up some quotes. Chrissy is directing our show today. Chrissy, put the Steph Curry quotes up there, because I think we haven't shown those yet today, but Steph Curry was asked about it. The Golden State rumors, of course, have been out there, and that's not going away anytime soon. And Steph Curry didn't shut it down. The idea of him possibly coming back to Golden State, the rumor mill, part of the NBA, you know how quickly things can change, but I like where we're at. So there's all of this out there. And I just, as Kevin Durant, as we sort of work our way through this summer of KD, and eventually it will end in him winding up on some other team, how do you see it from where you sit and follow it?
Well, here's the thing. I think Kevin Durant is ultimately going to get moved to a team that's a contender. And when you look at the Golden State Warriors, the package that they could put together is probably better than anybody else that has significant interest as a true contender. But ultimately, with Kevin Durant, you're talking about this Brooklyn Nets chapter of his career being a black mark on his legacy, Greeny, because he is the face of the biggest failure in NBA history. Think about this, Greeny. You're talking about him pairing up with Kyrie Irving and James Harden. Over the last 3 years, they've only got one playoff series win to show for it. It's an embarrassment, and Kevin Durant, as the best player on this team, has to wear that, and that's the unfortunate part about it.
I actually agree with that, and we had a little pushback between Chris and Zach on this topic a little bit earlier. I mean, how do you, the people you talk to, Zach, you talk to people around the league, across the league, every single day, how do they see all of this from the KD standpoint of it?
Look, they do see some of what Chris is talking about, that, you know, KD, is he enough of a leader? I had one GM tell me a couple weeks ago, man, if Kyrie were on our team and he refused to get vaccinated, our best players would have taken him in a locker room and jabbed them himself. Now, he was being a little bit facetious, but his point was somebody needed to take charge of that situation in Brooklyn, and nobody did. And does some of that fall at the feet of the best player on the team? Sure, I guess. But the face of the biggest failure in the history of the NBA, which, by the way, that's exactly what the Brooklyn Nets are. Why is the face not the guy who refused to get vaccinated, who took hiatuses from the team, who played 29 games last year? Why is the face not the guy with the beard who, because of the first guy, decided, you know what, I'm going to stop trying until you guys trade me out of here? Why is the face, why is the black mark, why is the all the blame going to the only one of the three stars who actually, and I know this is a novel concept, played and played hard every single game he was healthy. A failure of this magnitude goes on everybody. It spreads to everybody. I'm just not sure why we have to sit up here and dedicate all of the failure and all of the blame to Kevin Durant when the failure and the blame should go elsewhere. As for the Warriors package, look, we'll see, TBD. We can talk about Durant's legacy and all of this. I do think there are plays here and places here where he can repair or polish his legacy if you agree that he needs to, and I think he probably thinks that too.
Go ahead, Fridell.
This is a part we got to remind everybody on, Greeny. Everybody in Golden State who got tired of the drama with Kevin, they always respected that he came in and put in the work every day. Brooklyn, the same way. They knew that he set the tone from a work standpoint, and he was there all the time. Tying it all back around, if he can get to Miami, I think it is a perfect fit because that culture has been in place for years, and that team is all about the work, and he wouldn't have to worry about all the stuff he put himself in Brooklyn alongside Kyrie.
No, that's fair. This is an argument where everyone can be right because everything that you guys just said is correct. But the one thing I'll come back to, Chris, that makes me agree with you is the reason he wears it is because he's the best player. He's the most important one. That's who always sort of gets all of the attention, whether it's fair or not, reasonable or not. He's the one with the historical legacy that is at stake, not the other guys. Okay, let's play a game of right or wrong. Zach, I'm coming to you. If I were to say the Warriors are going to repeat as champions next year, would that be right or wrong?
You're not very nice this morning, Greeny. That's a tough spot for me to be in, to sit here and doubt the defending champions. But if you're asking me Warriors or Field right now in July when Kevin Durant still hasn't been traded, I'm going Field. Bucks, Celtics, Clippers, Nuggets, others are going to have a lot to say, so I'll go wrong, they don't win.
I like it. Next, Nick, is you. Damian Lillard, if I were to say he's never going to win a title in Portland, would that be right or wrong?
That would be right, Greeny. Dame is awesome, but he's 31 years old. Nobody is running to Portland to go play. He's only got a couple years left in his prime. And the largest issue for the Blazers, that contract in a few years is going to be massive. Huge albatross.
And then, Canty, I'll come to you last. If I were to say the Celtics will be back in the finals next year, would that be right or wrong?
Gee, it's right. It can't get no righter. They brought in another combo guard to share the responsibility of orchestrating the offense in the half court along with Marcus Smart, my guy Malcolm Brogdon from UVA. They brought in a big in Danilo Gallinari that can space the court offensively. So I like the Celtics having more guys that can handle the basketball, cutting down on turnovers, and also having more offensive firepower.
Me too. I think those are two sneaky good moves for the defending Eastern Conference champs. Speaking of whom, by the way, they had a thriller last night. Bucks and Celtics in summer league action. First of all, a festival of slam dunks. All right, so this is Juwan Bigaron. Take a look at this slam right there.
Ooh, gee, that is a poster if I ever seen one. I'm not sure they're making posters in summer league, but it's an impressive
one. Well, the guy he put on the poster is named Sandro Mamukelashvili, and then he gets his revenge. Look at him on the other end.
Yeah, that's the drop step. Back to the basket, G. Drop step and then punching it on him. It don't get no better for a guy in the post.
Then I want to show you how this game ends. So we got 6 seconds left. Bucks are up one. This is Matt Ryan. I want you to know that Matt Ryan was driving DoorDash at this time last year. And he does appear to hurt the ankle by throwing in the game winner there, but he was okay afterwards and he was able to celebrate and again be emotional. How about the thrill? He was a DoorDash driver a year ago. Now he throws in his shot to win an NBA.
Well, he delivers, G.
Summer
League. He's used to it.
That is very well played. All right, coming up, Kevin Durant, his soon-to-be former running mate. We will tell you the one way that Kyrie can emerge from all of this as a huge winner. Kendrick Perkins will be along for that conversation. And then, how is he not a top 10 quarterback? Why Lamar has everything at stake before the NFL season even begins. That's next. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We're back, and with the big fella here, it's time for a game of Can He or Can't He? So, can Aaron Rodgers win his third straight MVP, Karis? Can he or can't he?
Gee, he can. I don't want to bet against Aaron Rodgers because you still have that running game and that offensive line in place. Even though you're losing Devontae Adams, they're also going to have a strong supporting cast on the defense that's continued to improve the last couple of seasons. So I'm going to say all of that lends itself to getting the best version out of Aaron Rodgers. He can get it done.
All right, next stop would be the defending NFC champs and defending Super Bowl champs. If I were to say, can the Rams repeat as champs? Can he or can't he?
They can't, G. And here's the thing. I don't want to minimize the additions that the Rams have made this offseason because I think Les Snead has done a great job, even though he's mortgaging top-end draft picks. But it's been 2 decades since we've seen a repeat champ in the National Football League. And in the words of one of my former teammates, O.C. Umenyora, it's hard to eat when you're full.
One more. Can Lamar Jackson lead the Ravens to the Super Bowl this year? Can he or can't he?
Gee, I'm going to say he can. I mean, they upgraded the offensive line. I love the addition of Tyler Lindenbaum. And then defensively, they continue to get better, adding a lot of pieces on that defense, especially on the back end. So I'm going to say Lamar Jackson can get it done. He's got something to prove. We could be talking about history repeating itself with the Ravens quarterback in a contract year winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah, once upon a time, Joe Flacco bet on himself and got himself what was then the richest contract in the sport. Lamar Jackson, meanwhile, in this poll, and Diana told us earlier, a lot of people around the league were talking about this. League executives and coaches and scouts and players did not have Lamar Jackson ranked in the top 10 quarterbacks. And then Ryan Clark came on yesterday and said this.
Lamar doesn't fit what the Ravens do. Lamar is what the Ravens do. That's why it's mind-boggling to me that he's not in the top 10. He's not a system quarterback because he is the system. Lamar Jackson should already be paid, and Lamar Jackson shouldn't step foot into Baltimore, Maryland without having his name to the paper and getting whatever it is guaranteed for the life of the contract.
All right, so, I mean, that was RC in no uncertain terms. And so Louis Riddick and Diana Rossini, my insider extraordinaire, I will start with you because there's RC saying he shouldn't go out there until they've got a new contract done. Well, I've heard people saying that for months now, but we're running out of time, right? I mean, training camp is right around the corner here, Diana. Where are we with that?
Yeah, the sense I'm getting is that this is going to get done. They feel like this is moving in a good direction and the contract should be completed by training camp. If it all works out, right? There's tons of snags that happen when this stuff happens and they're in the process of this. So we will have to see. We know that they've kept this very close to the chest over the last few months. They haven't been sharing a lot of the details of this contract. I can't even share with you a number they're at right now because nobody is really talking about the details of this. And of course, not having an agent is probably a really good advantage to Lamar, right? Mm-hmm. There's no one talking about his deal at this point. But we did see on his Twitter handle, you know, him look like he was making reference to money. You know, and this is really the first time we've seen Lamar go to that space, Mike, right? Like, he's been so good about just being quiet and staying focused on football. And then he puts this out there. And it just makes you wonder, you know, where are they really at in terms of that money? And is Lamar really happy?
Well, I mean, you know, Lewis, she says you can't put a number to it. I'll put a number to it. It's $230 million guaranteed, right? That's Deshaun Watson's number. And I've had Mike Tannenbaum and others say to me, if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm taking a penny less. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I've echoed the same sentiment simply because of how important he is to that organization. See, there's going to be people like, obviously, when you look at this, you know, when you look at this ranking as far as how coaches and scouts and executives and players rank these quarterbacks in the NFL, look, they're not really factoring in how important maybe these individual players are to their individual teams, especially when we're talking about a guy like Lamar Jackson. They built their entire organization around him. They designed an entire offense around him. They call plays specifically designed to take advantage of his skill set as an athlete overall and as a thrower, you know, in terms of his ability to throw the football in the middle of the field in a way that no other team does. No other team has really invested into their guy specifically the way that the Baltimore Ravens have. And I think if you're Lamar Jackson and you know that, and you know also that objectively speaking, when you look at the statistics, we win 76% of our games when I start. We average 29 points a game when I start. That is enough right there to say, hey, look, in terms of my importance to this organization and our ability to win, as this offense is presently constructed, I deserve to get paid a guaranteed contract commensurate with what the Cleveland Browns paid Deshaun Watson, because I'm that important to you. I don't care if other teams feel as though I would be that important to them. I'm that important to you. So you pay me. Otherwise, I'm not coming in.
And that's the message that he's got, you know, on the grills and the teeth, you know, and the Twitter and all the rest of that. I don't know exactly how to describe it.
I know. I just liked how you
didn't
said
say
that.
It.
On the grills, the teeth, everything. Yeah.
Well, oh, man, that's so great.
That's the message that he is delivering one way or the other. In his look, he does everything a little differently, right? He does things his way. Now he's done that his way. What do you think?
No, first of all, I'm disappointed that nobody shouted out Hits from the Street and Red Man and Method Man from How High, because that's where the grill came from. So shout out to Lamar Jackson for getting that done. But the reality is, G, yesterday's price ain't today's price. Fat Joe said that a long time ago, and that applies to this situation, because the reality is the snag that Diana was talking about was Deshaun Watson getting that fully guaranteed contract, paying him $46 million a year, and that has to be the starting price for a guy that's won an MVP and just turned 25 years old. The Baltimore Ravens are going to get this done. They have to get it done because Lamar Jackson means that much to this team. I would anticipate that happening around before training camp. But Lamar Jackson's in the catbird seat. He has the ultimate leverage because it's a quarterback-driven league. And if you don't have one, you're talking about your franchise being set back. This is a guy who's taken his team to the playoffs. Yeah. Three of the 4 years he's been the starter.
Go ahead, Lewis.
No, I love Candy's. Yesterday's price is not today's price. Mm-hmm. That really sums this up. And as this goes on, and I'll tell you what, let them get to, I don't think it'll come to this, as Diana has already, you know, reported on the fact that she believes that this will get done. It's just that no information is coming out about it. But let it get to the regular season. Let it get to the point where he is then not playing. And then they get to see, I mean, look, they already know what kind of negative impact that would have on their football team and their ability to win games, which is really what all Steve Bisciotti cares about. That's all he cares about is winning games. That's what he's there for, right? And that's what Lamar does for this football team. And the longer he would stay away and the more L's they would rack up, then you, for damn sure, yesterday's price would not be today's price. And so, look, I think he's in a tremendous position. I can't wait to see what the particulars of this contract are, because I think it should be historic for him and should set the bar.
Be amazing when if it did actually come to that, and I don't know that anyone expects it, but we've seen stranger things happen. Let me leave it there for the moment. I promise I'm coming back to it. But as we continue back to the basketball in just a moment, is teaming up with Kyrie LeBron's best chance for ring number 5? Does a Hollywood reunion make the Lakers contenders for a championship? I will ask that question. And the big fella, Kendrick Perkins, will answer it as we continue next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and of course, the NBA and Kevin Durant remain our biggest stories. We are now nearly 2 weeks since Durant requested a trade from Brooklyn. Miami is one of the teams that is on his wish list as the teams convene in Las Vegas for NBA Summer League, and by that I mean all of the teams. And we opened up this hour with the reporting from Barry Jackson, who's been covering sports in South Florida for decades, that the Nets general manager and the Heat general manager were seen talking, and that, of course, gets everybody buzzing about that possibility again. And so here's Big Perk. We've not had a chance to talk to you about this so far today, Kendrick Perkins. The idea of Kevin Durant winding up in Miami, how do you like it?
Oh, I love it. I love it. Although I want to see him in Phoenix, Greeny, I wouldn't mind Kevin Durant in South Beach with Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler with the head coaching of Eric Spoelstra, okay? And then they brought back Victor Oladipo. But look, here's the thing. Kevin Durant in that culture would do wonders for him, right? You talk about Eric Spoelstra, a guy that put people in position to be successful. You talk about the Heat culture and Pat Riley, guys that hold each other accountable. The captain, Udonis Haslem, sitting over there to hold KD accountable on the defensive end and bring the best out of him. You pair him up with Jimmy Butler, who's shown us that he has a different level when it comes to playoff time. When Jimmy Butler is in the playoffs, he's arguably a top five player in the league. He's not a regular season player. So Kevin Durant in Miami, in the Miami Heat jersey down in South Beach, wiggling his toes in the sand like this here, that does everything. I love it. I actually love the idea.
Well, we will see if he's able to get it done. That, of course, remains at the front of a lot of the conversation. And he's looking to wipe clean the era that he just had in Brooklyn. Wipe it clean here on Get Up is brought to you by Clorox. And another who may be looking to wipe clean the Brooklyn situation is Kyrie Irving. The future of the young point guard is also very much in question. Yesterday, we had Brian Windhorst here, and he was laying out the timeline on a potential Kyrie trade. Listen.
The market on Kyrie remains frozen. The only team known to have interest is the Los Angeles Lakers, and the Nets have given out the vibe that they want to do a Kevin Durant trade first before moving on to Kyrie. So Kyrie will be welcome to games. The Nets would be happy to have him attend some of their summer league games, but I think he's played his last games for the Brooklyn Nets.
All right, so all this continues to sort of develop around us, and we have Zach Lowe with us all morning long. You just saw Big Perk, and Dominique Foxworth jumps in this morning. Thank you, as always, Nika. And so, Zach, I'll start with you. We didn't really get into this as much earlier, but as far as Kyrie is concerned, it does to some degree feel like Lakers are bust on that front. Where do we stand, to the best of your knowledge, with Kyrie and his circumstance?
It does appear to be Lakers or bust. And like Wendy said, I think it's going to take a while. The Lakers, the Nets rather want to get the Durant thing done first. That's a much bigger deal. The return will be much bigger. We know what the return will be if the Lakers and Nets strike a deal. It'll be Russell Westbrook and either one or two first round picks, period. The Nets aren't doing it for anything less than that. And Russ is just collateral damage in that trade. But I will say this, the longer it goes, the longer this stalemate proceeds, I do think there are going to be one or two mystery teams who look at Kyrie on an expiring contract and say, okay, nothing appears to be happening with the Lakers. Let's dive in and see how cheap we can get in on this because we've got nothing to lose if we do the deal the right way. That's the danger for the Lakers. I don't see that as imminent right now because, like Brian said, the market is beyond frozen. It's like deep freeze frozen.
Which speaks volumes to the way people view Kyrie Irving. And Big Perk, that brings it back to you and the question that is actually on the screen. Are the Lakers better off with him or better off not getting involved in that?
The Lakers are the only team that's better off with Kyrie Irving. Again, Greeny, I said this. When you look at Kyrie Irving's record with LeBron James in the postseason when they was in Cleveland, 39-13. When you talk about Kyrie Irving being consistent, playing elite level basketball consistently, showing up to work, it was alongside LeBron James. I think that's the only team that will be willing to accept Kyrie Irving. Look, you have to look around the league, right? You look at all the upcoming teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Phoenix Suns, all these young ball clubs that have young star power over there. Why would you want Kyrie Irving over there? A guy that you can't trust. A guy that you may bring in that have a horrible effect on the young players. A guy that could come in and actually demoralize your culture and, you know, put in the minds of young players another way of thinking. He was holding practice outside of Steve Nash practices. Think about that for a second. He was holding his own practices. If you're an organization and you have young talent, why in the hell would you want Kyrie Irving in your locker room?
When you put it that way, it's very hard to argue. Dominique, you have an argument?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that it's hard to figure out what the best physical state is, maybe California and Los Angeles, but I think we need to look at Kyrie's mental state. I think is more important than anything. And I'm certainly not going to try to diagnose him or do anything like that, but when Kyrie plays, nothing's wrong with his game. If he is in the state of mind where he wants to take over particular games or prove some sort of point, then there is no bad place for him. But I also think that maybe we're saying that being next to LeBron is the best place for him, but I'm not sure that anyone believes that just because you put him next to LeBron that he's going to like straighten up and fly right. This ain't the same Kyrie that was with Cleveland in the past, and this ain't the same LeBron that was in Cleveland in the past. So I think we all hope that Kyrie gets back to that, and we hope that being next to LeBron will kind of propel that, but he's matured into a different version of himself than what he was back then, so I don't think that we can assume that just dropping him in L.A., we get that old thing back that we had in Cleveland.
Go ahead, Perk.
Yeah, but Dominique, we're talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the most historical franchises in sports history. And right now, the way that they finished last season is unacceptable. This is a franchise that is all about championships. I believe they finished the season 15 games under 500. The only way for them is up. And they see that the Russell Westbrook thing isn't happening. They can't really land other big-name free agencies or go out to other guys and other on other teams for his trades. So you might as well test your luck with Kyrie Irving. Hell, he act like he want to be there. So at least if he acting like he want to be there, once he get there, maybe he'll embrace the opportunity.
It feels like it's a marriage between, like, the two ugliest people at prom, and it's like nobody wants to dance with me, so I guess we better dance with each other.
It's nothing like that, but okay, fair enough. I mean, I guess it's something like that, but it's kind of hard to consider LeBron James and Kyrie Irving the two ugliest ones at the prom when you consider the two of the greatest players of all
Zach
time.
Zach Lowe just said nobody wants him, and Kendrick just said that the Lakers are in terrible shape, and they ended well below 500, and they have no chance. It feels like Nobody else is looking to join these teams.
I'll concede the point.
Hey, Dom, real quick. Can you please not ever call me Kendrick again on national television?
My bad, Big Perk.
All right, cool.
I want to get one other thing in here with you guys, because Ray Allen went there, okay? So if Kyrie goes to L.A., he's going to join up with LeBron James. And James, as we all know, has a career filled with all kinds of accomplishments, and many people consider him to be the greatest player of all time. His former teammate Ray Allen was asked if LeBron could be the GOAT. Listen to this exchange that ensued.
He can score and pass. Is he a great free throw shooter? Is he a great three-point shooter? A great dribbler.
Oh,
so you're saying the GOAT, and he ain't even the great in all them categories.
You know what it is?
Yes.
So there's Ray Allen just going there. Big Perk, why the face? Why are you making that face?
You know why I love Ray Allen, my Mbutu brother, a brother that I won a championship with in 2008. And Ray Allen used to always say when he got on the bus, I got J's on my feet, which he wanted the world to know that he was sponsored by Jordan and he had a special relationship with Jordan. And a lot of these former players that played under Jordan or played with Jordan, they get this care package every month, a family care package where they get boxes of Jordan shoes before everybody else and they open them up on social media. Am I a bit jealous? Absolutely. LeBron, yes, he has to do a better job of sending shoes to Big Perk and taking care of me. But here's the problem that I have. Ray was sitting up there and he was actually talking to a group of young men, okay, and giving them misinformation. Because him saying or him trying to say that LeBron James is not the GOAT because he's not a great ball handler. Well, Michael Jordan wasn't a great ball handler. He was a good ball handler. He got to his points and his spots, and he had enough handle where he didn't turn the ball over. Okay? Michael Jordan wasn't a great three-point shooter. LeBron James isn't. But that doesn't put you in the category of being the GOAT. And I'm just very disappointed in Ray Allen, because when you're talking to a group of young men and you're teaching them about history and things to that nature, you have to dive more into just being a great free throw shooter. I am very disappointed in him.
Well, I can understand why Ray would bring free throw shooting into the conversation. But Dominique, what do you think?
Yeah, no, it was funny because it was a very simplistic argument, but he was pointing to his head like he was giving him some deep stuff. Like, he didn't break down any of the nuances of the game or talk about any of the stuff that these young kids wouldn't be able to appreciate. He's just like, hey, look at his free throw percentage. Like, it just seemed shallow for somebody as smart and talented as Ray Allen.
Final word, Zach, go.
You know how on game shows you could just say pass if you don't want to address the topic? I just kind of want to pass this one right along. The argument really didn't make any sense. I don't really understand what was going on. I'm just going to pass. Next question.
I actually do like Dominic's point, though. If you point at your head, it seems more like you're making a very important – listen. Just think about it. I'm saying absolutely nothing, but you should be paying very close attention. Okay, as we continue, the rankings are out. The reaction is in. And is this the most overrated quarterback in the NFL? That's the question. The answer's coming up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The last time we saw Patrick Mahomes in a game, he was losing the AFC Championship. Now the Chiefs superstar is without a key piece. So why are many expecting him to have a huge 2022? We are in search of answers in our Get Up Training Camp Tour.
All right, we're talking quarterbacks. Over the weekend, Dak Prescott told reporters he's in the best shape he's ever been in. Last year, of course, he was still recovering from bad injuries and that it's a shoulder that he had in training camp as well. Jeremy Fowler joined us yesterday talking about how league executives see Dak stacking up.
As far as league perspective, with these rankings, he gets votes in the 7 to 10 range. He's sort of considered like not upper echelon, but that second tier, right? He's really good, not quite great. So maybe this is the year that changes.
So that was sort of an interesting perspective on all of this. And Dominique, what was your take on that? That's your, sometimes jokingly call you a member of the Prescott family because of your fandom. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fair that he is not in that upper echelon. It's hard for me to argue if the upper echelon is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, guys like that, Aaron Rodgers with back-to-back MVPs. We've seen Dak Prescott like touch that area of ability from time to time, but we've never seen him consistently do that for an entire season. So to suggest that he should be above any of them, I think would be unfair. But I think we all agree that he's a top-tier quarterback in NFL. The Cowboys are not in the quarterback market. They know that they have a guy who they can win a Super Bowl with, which is all that any team in this league is really looking for. So Dak is one of the really, really good quarterbacks, but he's not one of these guys who look like they could be all-time greats, which I think is a fair assessment of my cousin Dak Prescott.
Lewis, how about it? I think just something about having the star on your helmet just brings all of that attention and all of that scrutiny and all of this kind of conversation. What's your position?
Yeah, there's no question about that, Greeny. I think it starts to form a narrative around this guy that a lot of times is unfair to him, especially when you objectively evaluate some of the data out there, you know, as far as his play. When you look at things like, look, according to Next Gen Stats, his completion percentage above expected, I mean, he's sixth in the NFL in that. And that factors in a lot of different things when it comes to top-level quarterback play. And if he's sixth in the NFL, then that means he is one of the very best in the NFL. When you look at his stats against the blitz, I believe he had like 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and his efficiency under pressure, his total QBR. He's all of these metrics put him in solidly in the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. But I think when we're talking about Dak and we're talking about elite quarterbacks overall, I think then we're talking about team success, right? Then we're looking at whether or not he can lead his football team and overcome some of the things that work against him, like coaching, like in-game decision-making, and if he can transcend that kind of stuff and lead his football team to wins, that's what will put him in the quote-unquote elite category.
That's a great delivery on that one, by the way, Lewis. You know, Chris, it is. I was thinking as Lewis was saying that, it really is the perfect storm of attention, right? Mm-hmm. He came in. He took over the job of the most glamorous team in the sport under the weird circumstances with a Romo injury. Set the world on fire. Played great. Then had all the injuries, the contract situation. There's always been a reason to be focused on him and how he's playing and kind of micromanaging the evaluation. So right now, where is it?
Well, here's what I'll say. I agree with the league's perspective. Dak Prescott is a good, not great quarterback. The only problem is you're paying him top five quarterback money, and he's not that dude. I agree with Dom that every now and again you'll see glimpses of it, but the reality is that since he's come into the league with the Dallas Cowboys, I think you can make an argument that there hasn't been a quarterback that's done less with more than Dak Prescott. Think about it. You already had a rushing champ in Ezekiel Elliott. Your offensive line, for the most part, has been one of the best in the National Football League. This year, they drafted a guy who you could argue is the best defensive player in all of football. You had a defense that was first in turnovers. You had Amari Cooper once upon a time that was a top five pick. And yet, it's equated to Dak Prescott having a total of, what, one playoff win?
Yeah.
I'm just saying the Dallas Cowboys paid him that money in order for them to compete at a championship level, and Dak Prescott hadn't gotten them close to that
first
point.
Nick?
First, get out my man's pockets. He earned that money. I'm all for guys getting paid. This wasn't a gift. They didn't say, ooh, look at this wayward youth. Let's give him a bunch of money. Dak Prescott earned that money.
He deserves it.
Anything else that comes after that as a criticism of Dak Prescott is unfair. Jason Garrett was his coach. Coach, no one out here is saying Jason Garrett is a world beater. His current coach struggled with in-game decisions all season long. Those are difficulties that a guy has to overcome. And I also think that it would be fair. It's kind of unfair for us to forget what he did in many of those playoff games. Like that first playoff game, his rookie year against Aaron Rodgers, they went toe-to-toe. He led 3 scoring drives in the fourth quarter. Like, he did these things. They happened to lose because Aaron Rodgers did something ridiculous. But we hang that over him like it's all his fault. And honestly, like, I became like a member of the Prescott family because I was one of the few people that took Dak versus Wentz in that argument. Now, if you're trying to match Dak up against Josh Allen, I'm going to have a hard time winning that argument. So, like, let's understand where Dak is. He's very good, but we're not going to pretend like what's the failures in Dallas are his fault and his fault alone.
That's fair. I like every bit of it, and we will see where this season winds up taking him. All right, as we continue ahead, we look at some of the featured events this weekend and next week. Saturday, our next UFC Fight Day main card is on ABC and ESPN+. Oh, Home Run Derby's next Monday from Dodger Stadium on ESPN and ESPN2. The first episode of The Captain will premiere right after the Derby on ESPN and ESPN+. And then don't miss the 30th annual ESPYs next Wednesday on ABC. Meanwhile, First Take's coming up top of the hour here. Would a reunion with the Warriors tarnish KD's legacy? And which quarterback in the AFC West has the most at stake? They'll answer those questions and more top of the hour here on ESPN. We're back on Get Up, and we'll wrap it up today with the biggest story in sports. The future of Kevin Durant, nearly 2 weeks since he requested a trade from Brooklyn. Miami remains one of the teams very much on his wish list, and there was the reporting from Barry Jackson in South Florida yesterday that the general managers of the Heat and the Nets were seen talking, and that, of course, sets loose all the speculation about the possibility that this could happen, and I guess that there could be something imminent. Let's go back to Vegas. Nick Friedell out there with Summer League. What are we looking at here as far as Durant is concerned, Miami, and anybody else as far as a timeline is to be considered?
Greeny, everything's frozen still right now. Everybody I have talked to out here says the same thing. This thing is going to take a while, potentially into the season. Now, from a basketball standpoint, I think Miami is still the best fit. But there is nobody I've talked to, league executive-wise, who believes that this thing with Kevin Durant is going to be over any time in the very near future.
Okay, fair enough. So that then brings me back to something I tried to bring in here yesterday, Zach Lowe, and I'll drop it on your lap right now. If indeed they can't find a trade that they love for Kevin Durant, which is the impression I'm getting from everything you guys have been telling me since this whole thing started, and the Kyrie Irving thing remains the mystery that it is the possibility of bringing Durant and Irving and Simmons back together again and taking one shot at this thing while you have Kyrie on a one-year deal, is that as ludicrous to them as it seems they're making it seem? Because it feels to me like that is a team that would at least have, to use your earlier phrase, a puncher's chance at winning something.
That's the sad part of this. That's a good team on paper. You don't win anything on paper. In theory, sure, but to me, the toothpaste isn't just out of the tube. It's all over the walls. It's on the mirror. There's no toothpaste left in the tube. I just can't see a scenario where all three of those guys are going back to Brooklyn, even as ludicrous things keep happening in sports. I just don't see it, and I don't see the Nets and Durant going to war over and over and over again for months. I would expect him still to be on another team before the season or shortly into it. But again, nothing surprises me anymore.
Chris Canty, final word.
Yeah, I don't know how much leverage Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving have in all of this. Brooklyn's going to hold out for the best deal because they need this in order to rebuild their team. Think about all the draft picks that they've forked over the last couple of years to give themselves a chance to compete at a championship level with Kai and KD as the core. So, yeah, I could see this thing being something that drags out. I don't think it'll go all the way to the trade deadline in the middle of the season, but I certainly could see it bleeding over into the regular season.
Zach, is that on the list of options here? If the season begins and those guys are still on the Brooklyn roster, are they just not playing?
I think that's certainly on the list of options. And also on the list of options is they all show up to training camp cranky and playing and pouting and all that. The list of options is endless. I just think by far the most likely one is this all gets resolved before the season, because that's, I think, what everyone ultimately wants.
Well, I mean, look, there comes a point where the thing that you don't see coming is what winds up coming down. So we can sit here and act like they're going to wait a long time. But to the point that you made earlier, every day that goes by, if I'm the Nets, I get more and more worried about this thing. I think if you're going to get this thing done, you need to get it done sooner than most people are expecting, as complicated as it may feel. Fridell, thank you for getting up early with us from Vegas. Zach, you're the best. Chris Canty, thank you. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.